Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who was out last week traveling. I don't know if he was in D.C. or Tallahassee. He goes all over the place, but that's good stuff. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been quite a trek. I was 24 hours throwing beads at Mardi Gras and then right back over here for 6 meetings yesterday in Tallahassee and 5 more today.
So. Good Lord, 6 meetings. What are you doing? Before I forget, because I will forget and move on to other things, but anything about this SB 948, the zoning preemption for residential, that is, to my mind, it gets more insane every time I read it, but anything on that, or are you working on other stuff?
Yeah, other stuff. You know, our punch list with FDOT, for example, meeting with the governor's office, meeting with Florida Commerce Secretary Alex Kelly today, met with the Secretary of DTF on some homelessness and COC issues. So all over the board, you know, just trying to get as much done as we can when we're over here.
All right. Anything to announce or anything, you know, that you wanted that came out of it that's, you know, worth telling about?
I think it's generally positive. Speaking specifically to COC and homelessness, I certainly like the direction that we're going.
Continuum of care, by the way, for people who don't know the acronym. The oversight of the entire process of handling.
Where the federal and state dollars come in for us to be able to reduce homelessness. I think we're in as good a position as we've been in a long, long time in terms of leadership there, in terms of governance there. And that was ultimately my message as DCF, who is one of those funders, to say, hey, look, we've turned the page over here. And, unfortunately, a community our size with the PIT count, the point in time count that we have, would probably have $3 million coming in annually at the state and federal level, and we're more like $800,000. So that's something that has to be addressed. And certainly I'm in the position that the COC is in now, better than they've been in many, many years, has kind of reinvigorated my advocacy. Of course, I've always advocated for it, but I think I'm willing to endorse and sign my name to doing what we say we're going to do. You know, and so that was a big part of the meeting with Secretary Hatch at DCF and letting them know that and to look for more opportunities for us to be able to provide, and not just on homelessness. We talked about childcare access and other things like that as well.
Good, very good. Yeah, I actually really liked your comment that you made. Maybe it was the State of the City address where you mentioned that the definition of, you know, basically resource-strapped people changing from being above 30% of their income going to housing to 90% going to all sources of recurring necessities, including childcare. Maybe you can't reduce, you know, mortgages and rents, but if you can hit childcare a little bit, maybe you help people. I love that idea. By the way, I forget to do these things sometimes, and it is entirely on me, but this interview with Mayor D.C. Reeves is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mayor, we were talking earlier in the show about City Council last Thursday. You weren't there because you were traveling, and I found it incredibly frustrating. There was a little old lady bought a house, got a quick claim deed. It had been a tax deed sale to the county, and then the people who bought it, you know, fixed up the problems and then sold it with a quick claim deed. She had a lawyer and a real estate agent, but nobody informed her that there were liens. The liens were $2,600 of actual cost from the city and $44,000 over the course of 7 years, $25 a day of, you know, court fines, basically. She came and asked for some relief. And, you know, even though Casey Jones said, can we cut it in half, and Delarian and Tanya Day went with him, the other four members said no. Ultimately, they didn't do any relief at all. And I said, this is crazy. At the county, they do this all the time. The soft costs that are just the court-mandated fees get reduced or eliminated all the time. If there's sunk costs actually spent by the county, they charge you that. So they might have gone into like a $5,000 instead of, you know, $46,000 would have been my expectation. But nobody did anything. The defense was, Charles Baer said, well, the mayor's administration is recommending full tilt on this. I wanted to give you a chance to comment on the problem in the case, whatever you want to say.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a politically convenient thing to say. Ultimately, what we brought forward, the council controls the budget, and they have the ability to do anything they want. They don't have to. When you don't want to do something, sometimes you just blame the administration for that. But we brought forward what the rules are. And so I think my position on this is greater than the single instance. And it kind of goes back to why we did a strategic plan at the city, is because historically in this space, when you have no plan, everything fits it. And generally, when you look at the city of Pensacola's lien position policy, for generations of time, it's not extremely clear. And so when it's not extremely clear, what happens is you end up having to battle these case by case.
Right.
And that puts the administration in a difficult spot, and it puts the council in a difficult spot, because it's like, well, wait, Andrew, we did this for Andrew, but not for DC.
Or that's right.
We did this for Charles Barrow, not for Jennifer. And so so when you don't have a plan and then everything fits it, we end up in these predicaments. So honestly, our focus is larger than that. I actually think we should have, frankly, more restrictively issue or lean policy that would maybe even mirror what the county has and what others have, where people aren't able to run from their liens. In the city, unfortunately, over years of time, you've been able to do that. You've been able to sell a house or get foreclosed, whatever the case may be. In other municipalities and counties, that can actually follow you to any other property you own.
The county does that. They spider it out to everything else you own, right?
Which makes natural, logical sense, right? But here's the problem. So we look back to this individual issue. In the same vein of an issue like this, you know how many people have called me looking to buy a house and renovate it and say, hey, Mayor, look, I'll buy this blighted house and fix it up so I can turn around and sell it. Just waive these $75,000 in fees.
Right.
Well, it puts us in a tough spot to say, well, we don't want blight either. But like, if we start doing that, then we really have no liens at all. And the person that wins in this is the person that left the lien.
Right.
It's not even the person. It's not the city, and it's not the person that's trying to buy it. And so, honestly, I think it's just more a greater issue that we need to that we discuss. But we've got to kind of continue to galvanize. And if we strengthen the lien policy with clarity, then it's going to make situations like this a little bit easier.
Yeah, the end goal has to be primary. Number one is you want to end blight and get properties, growing and prosperous in the city. That's number one. And number two, make the people who do the bad thing actually pay for the bad thing instead of somebody else. And I agree with you. The balancing act of figuring out how to do that is actually very, very difficult. It seems like you could just do this, and it doesn't really work that way for a variety of reasons. You and I had not had a chance to talk much about this, but I had sort of heard some of your comments about it. The Florida DOGE report seemed to me to be profoundly unserious. In fact, I seriously wonder whether it wasn't written with the assistance of AI. The particular allegations about the city seem silly. The number of man hours that you guys spent, over 600 complying with this, is a ridiculous amount of money. But then the end of it seems to be basically recommending the elimination of towns and cities in the state of Florida, which seems like an oddly honest way to end the DOGE report. But I wanted to give you a chance to comment on the thing.
Yeah, this is part of the PR crash course where you're supposed to be very measured and not say everything that you want to say. I believe is how this goes. But what I can say is I think it speaks for itself. The largest amount of time invested into this DOGE report was over an issue that happened 4 months after the audit. We spent 600.
Oh, the Sanger Theater thing, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm sure you mentioned, the sign that we were publicly at a press conference criticized for mysteriously disappeared from the report, because it turns out we actually didn't use city funds to pay for it. At the end of the day, we certainly, as I said from the beginning, when this was even announced that it was going to happen, that we are happy to defend any issue out there. I think this is a play for property tax. And, there's an interesting conversation happening over here this week. Obviously, property tax comes up in my line of work right now. And, I think what you're starting to actually hear is a little momentum from the business community around the state of Florida, because what they see, when you talk about the triangulation of cutting property tax, where's that money going to come from? Well, the natural thing is to say, well, if we give all these big homestead exemptions and property tax, where do you think that burden is going to go? It's going to go to commercial property. It's going to go not just to condos. And, that's the party line to use is, well, it'll just go to people who own vacation homes. Well, yes, but there's tons of commercial property in our city and across our state. And if that financial burden gets moved from the homesteads to commercial properties, that's going to cause an enormous issue for business attraction, business retaining, all of that as well. So that's, one of the big conversations coming up. But, I will not spend 655 of our staff hours analyzing this DOGE report at $30,000 of labor. I'll allow them, the report is what it is. We'll defend every day, every hour of the week, the way that we steward the taxpayer dollar and go from there.
The Mardi Gras parade was down Jefferson because Palo Fox is in a current state of, it's current state, we'll just say. I thought Jefferson was a really nice alternative. I don't know whether I prefer to have it there or not. Several people have said they really like it better there. Do you have any long-term plan to make that the route instead of Palo Fox once Palo Fox is fixed?
Yeah, I've heard that before. And interestingly enough, I know that there's in previous years with some of the Palo Fox business owners, there have been some criticism about how it actually impedes their business during certain days or certain hours, which was always surprising to me, but it probably depends on your business. Might be an interesting conversation at least with DIB and moving forward. But at this point, no, we don't have any, permanent plans to do that. We would, and certainly we rebuilt Palo Fox with the intentionality that it would be able to, still be able to have parades go down that road. So, there'll be the speed bumps with the crosswalks and everything else, but, it still could be done. So more to come on that. If certainly, I don't think that would be something that would come from the administration, right? I think it would be sparked by us, but if it's something that we're hearing with business owners and parade organizers, then we would certainly take a look at it.
Very good. Last quick thing, just briefly, is the airport announcement. I know how, John wants me to ask you how many times an airport employee hears your voice over the course of a year. I pegged it around 14,000 times based on a quarter hour and a work year. But you're working to get Emmett Smith and Bubba Watson and Devin Witherspoon, any other big names we're going to put up on the announcements? Adron Chambers?
Maybe Derek Brooks, there's a Roy Jones Jr. Maybe there's lots of, famous folks that, that could take over that role. And of course, Andrew, you're not counting that they listen to mine in your interview on the way to work. So if you count all those words, that they have to hear me on the way in their car and then, when they get there. But I do apologize to them, but in seriousness, it gives us an opportunity to talk good about our city and especially with all of these famous people that have had an impact all over the world in some way for that to resonate with visitors that come in. And so so we do like taking that opportunity, even in apologies to our employees, to be able to highlight, small businesses, for example, is something that I mentioned in there. Please support our small businesses while you're here. So it gives us a little chance to message folks while we've got a captive audience. They aren't going anywhere, at least for an hour or so. So we like that mechanism. We'll just give our employees a little relief from having to hear me all the time.
To my mind, it's very similar to don't put your own logo on the water tower, put something cool on the water tower. Okay, well, don't put the mayor's voice on the airport. Take our celebrities and put them on the airport voice. It's just that you can do something different with it that's, maybe people don't miss if it's not there, but once they see it, like, oh, this is so much better. I love it. Hey, we always like to end with a quick lightning round. First question for you. Tell me which Olympic sport you just can't stand watching, winter or summer.
Either one. I watched curling last night, which I like somehow. I don't know how, but honestly, I'm good. I'm a sports writer, Andrew. I'm good with
that.
I can watch pretty much. I'm
even
trying to think.
Like,
I don't know. There's
cross
one
country in the marathon. You're fine.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Cross country skiing. That's a good one. Yeah. I mean that is definitely super
good.
Boring.
Yeah. I knew nobody likes cross country skiing. I knew it. I knew it was there. On your grits, sugar or salt?
Salt. I didn't even know people put sugar on.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I've been told by a lot of people that it is an exciting alternative. So, we'll allow it.
Interesting.
How often do you react to or comment on social media posts? Anywhere between 0% and 100% of the time.
Oh God. I mean, my world, people would think because they see me on there, probably 1% of the time, given everything that is ever discussed. It may not seem that way to people, but, you can check my notifications or whatever, probably one, lots of volume in this business,
right,
that you could comment on, so probably a very low number considering that fact.
A high percentage of pass, even though we all see when the mayor does comment that, he does comment. It's not a zero, but it is definitely not all that high of a number. Mayor D.C. Reeves, thanks so much, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.